All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. It seems like the one thing I learn most often is how little I know about things. Here, I've been doing nothing but complain about war for 10 years in a row, and I'm not even familiar at all with this term bug splat, which apparently is what all government employees now call their civilian casualties. Is that about right? Welcome to the show, Robert Kohler. How are you doing?
Hi.
Kohler. Kohler. Yeah. Kohler.
Oh, yeah, Kohler. You're right. You got it right. Hi. Hi. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. Happy to have you here. Bob Kohler is an award-winning Chicago-based journalist and nationally syndicated writer. He's got a book called Courage Grows Strong at the Wound. You can find his articles all over the place. This one is called Bug Splat, The Civilian Toll of War. It's at the Baltimore Sun, and we got it linked up in the Viewpoint section today at antiwar.com. And I really didn't know about this, or maybe I had heard it here and there, but I certainly didn't understand that this is a really widespread thing. Bug splat. Can you elaborate?
Well, yes. Okay, well, I am very only newly acquainted with this term myself. I saw it in a piece I read on Common Dreams, a month ago, I mean, not too long ago, and started looking into just the term itself, because once it enters the brain, it's impossible to get out. I mean, I couldn't get it out of my head, just this idea. There was a Washington Post article that ran way back in February of 2003, before we went into Iraq, but, you know, as the buildup was, you know, gaining, you know, serious momentum, that talked about this new computer program that the Pentagon had. And it was allegedly a humane program. It helped planners of this coming invasion more accurately predict civilian casualties, you know, in various targets, various, you know, areas of Baghdad that they had decided to target. But they called it bug splat. They called it Operation or the bug splat program, something like that. I mean, but the word bug splat was the key word.
Yeah, I wish I had picked up on that then, because there was actually a lot of propaganda. I remember especially like on the Lehrer News Hour, that kind of level propaganda, where they just spent all this time talking about, boy, the Air Force has gotten so good at never killing innocent people. They're just brilliant, and they're working so hard
because
on all these
bombs,
different
so
systems
smart,
to protect the innocent, et cetera, et cetera. On the eve of war, before the war.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And this is what they were talking about, was this program.
Yes, well, yes, apparently so. But you know, what's revealed in the name is the inner dimension of the whole thing, the inner indifference to civilian life, the inner lack of humanity that allowed that invasion to occur, and that, you know, in my opinion, allows war in general to occur. But it was just so graphic a term that I had to do something, you know, so I wrote a column about it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and you talk about, do I have it right here that the cop at UC Davis that pepper sprayed all those kids in the face, that's what he called them to, or not?
No, that's what I called, I mean, in linking the whole concept of this, you know, inhumanity, no, that was not used by the police or by that police officer.
Yeah, but, just same difference.
But looking at the photo, at the YouTube video, you know, it looked like the spraying of bugs. I mean, it was that same level of indifference. Mm-hmm. It was not the same level of lethality, because these were American kids, and we're not going to, you know, quite ready to start, you know, killing our protesters, you know, our domestic protesters at this point, you know, calling them insurgents and then killing them like bugs, but we will spray them with pepper spray as though they're, you know, cockroaches running along at the counter.
Yeah. Well, now, you also say in here that the British organization Reprieve calls its effort to track civilians killed in drone strikes Project Bug Splat. Do you have any idea why is that?
Well, they call it Project Bug Splat, not out of their belief that these are bug splat. That program is an attempt to track, you know, civilian casualties, And the term, you know, just comes from the Pentagon. The
so
name
they're
of
just
the
trying
Pentagon
to highlight
program.
The term, basically.
They're highlighting the term. They're not.
Right.
They're not manifesting indifference
yeah.
or inhumanity. They are highlighting the term.
Gotcha.
So that is it. That's it. And I hope yes. I mean, as I reread my column, I saw the possibility of a misunderstanding that I was condemning that organization, which I'm not. At all. Yes, as you say, they were highlighting the term.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I thought that must have meant too, but I didn't look into it. I
just
figured I'd interview you and ask you. And it worked out. Okay, but so, now here's my thing too, because of course, racism basically, or at least all this racist language throughout history, its primary purpose is to make it okay to kill people, right? I mean, that's what it's all for, is to to basically shout at someone, I deny you're actually a human, therefore I can cut your guts out with this bayonet and try to get over it later or whatever.
Yes, right. Well, it's much easier to do. Perhaps it's not easier to get over it as our inner, you know, conscience, you know, absorbs, you know, what we have done. I mean, that's there's studies that demonstrate that PTSD is far more prevalent, not so much among people that have witnessed the horrors of war or even seen their comrades die, so much as those who have killed in war, especially if they've killed unarmed civilians. That's the sort of thing that really feeds the the PTSD syndrome. And I think that's very important. And the idea of war being, the inhumanity of war certainly is not a new concept. I mean, it's, you know, widely discussed, all of the names we have for our enemies, you know, from, you know, the gook era to the, you know, to the raghead, to the haji, you know, any name that just erases the humanity.
Well, that's the interesting part about this to me, is that gook and haji and all those are really mean, right? They have this whole, they have disdain built into them. But bug, in the case of bug splat, the computer program, or bug splat, the ratio of civilian casualties or whatever, it's not so mean. It's not even calling them insects like the Hutus call the Tutsis or whatever, cockroaches or something like that. It's more just like an offhand kind of thing. It denies them their humanity, but not necessarily in a mean way, but just in sort of a, like, maybe in a software-ish fashion, where it's
I think you're right. I think it's one step removed from the hostility. There's really no hostility. It's simply indifference.
Right, indifference. That's the term I was grasping for, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that it's a scarier phenomenon, or a further, you know, a further step in the phenomenon of dehumanization, where it's so indifferent that, we wipe them away, like bugs and any other vermin that are in our way, weeds, whatever.
You know what's funny though is, well, you know, I don't hold myself responsible for believing in this crap when I was a little kid, because I was just a little kid, and they said killing is okay as long as you're wearing green and you're doing it for your country, like in World War II or whatever. That's
absolutely
the founding myth
yeah.
of America. We do fight overseas from here all the time, but it's only always to stop Hitler and whatever. And that makes it all right. I was a little kid, so okay. But what I don't understand is, how do people live to be 80 years old believing this crap, where, like, as long as you're born between Canada and Mexico, it's perfectly all right for you to massacre anyone as long as they're outside of these lines?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, I think as long as you stay within the faith and the walls of your faith are strong enough, you know, and by faith I mean, you know, the faith of nationalism.
Yeah, that's civic religion.
You know, and don't open your mind beyond those walls that you have, you know, built over a lifetime around yourself. Then, you know, and you've been lucky enough not to have been exposed to the consequences of the inhumanity you support, then you stay within it easily enough. I mean,
right. All right, now hold it right there. We got to take this break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, everybody. It's Robert Kohler. He's got a new one at the Baltimore Sun. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm talking with Bob Kohler. This is the first time I haven't screwed up his name this whole time, but here we are. The Baltimore Sun, he's got a piece. Bug Splat, the civilian toll of war, and yeah, basically we're talking about how little human life means to American government employees, particularly the military ones, and the manipulation of language that makes it all okay. That's really the trip to me. It's a sort of Orwellian, George Carlinian thing about how you think in language. And so,
yes. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
And you can really justify any horror with an argument if you got one, right?
Yes, yes. You can't lie in body language. You can only lie in, the language we have invented. It's an incredible tool for telling the truth and for lying. We build our reality with our language.
Mm-hmm. And I was reminded when I saw your article. Again, it's running in the viewpoint section today at antiwar.com, y'all. When I saw it, I thought immediately of Admiral Fallon, who I believe heroically, pretty much single-handedly, stopped the war with Iran in 2007.
Okay.
And he was the head of Central Command at the time, and he basically said, over my dead body. Well, this same guy gave an interview to, I think it was Thomas Barnett later on, where he said, or maybe this was the one that got him fired. Anyway, at one point he said, hey, look, the people of Iran are ants, and when the time comes, we will crush them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so, and this was the hero. This was the guy that stopped the war. It certainly wasn't because anyone inside Persia has a right to be alive. Not for one minute. It was just, I guess, he was worried American soldiers in Iraq would get bombed all to hell, I guess was his problem.
Right, right, right. It's reminiscent of the Graham Greene story, The Third Man, and the Orson Welles character, who is that kind of guy, he and Joseph Cotton are riding on the Ferris wheel, and at the very top, as they look down, the Orson Welles character says, look at those, ants down there, which is essentially what they look like from that height. Mm-hmm. Do you really honestly say you care about any of them? Anyway, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, Graham Greene wrote it to be critical of that.
I think that was one of the things I saw on which movie was it about the financial crisis where they talked about, I think the CEO or the COO or something of Lehman Brothers took the elevator straight up that no one else, it didn't even stop at any other floors. He had his own elevator and went straight up to the very top. And he only ever saw people from the top of that building down,
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, that's the whole, the structure of organizations as a hierarchy creates that situation where, only at the higher level, is there humanity, and those below are subordinate, rather than, a flow of humanity in every direction. And, I'm all for creating that kind of world. And I would say that's my life project is, to contribute to that. What I call it, is power with versus power over. We live in a society that seems to believe in domination, but we built our human civilization out of cooperation and power with one another, and I think we just have to acknowledge that and acknowledge the implications and ask the questions: what does it mean to build a power with society? And move beyond this power over society that's going to drive us all into, extinction, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and, of course, within that is the more minor point. It's just a more technical matter or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's not the right word either. It's just maybe a narrower point, just as important, but narrower within that same framework would be the life of, some kid who right now is a junior in high school and is thinking seriously about joining the Marine Corps because everybody he knows thinks it's the right thing to do. And everybody he knows would at least, if not tell him outright, would, more or less go along with and reinforce the idea that the government loves its soldiers, that the whole society loves its soldiers, and we'll all think of you as a hero and take good care of you, when the reality is, not just hyperbole, but now we know for a fact, the reality is the government will throw your dead body in the garbage dump when they're through with you.
Yeah,
they don't really care about you at all.
Need,
and that's the part that really gets me, is 17-year-old kids with a head full of mush being told that after all this, after a decade of war, after all you and I have seen happen in the last 10 years, all these horrors that they know nothing of, they're just fresh joining up right now to go fight in Afghanistan, for example.
Precisely, yeah. And they'll throw you in the gutter even if the body isn't quite dead. Once they're dead, once they're done with you, that's it.
It's really unfair, you know? Because I know when I was 17, I thought I knew a lot of stuff, but I knew starting probably around the time I was 19 that actually I didn't know anything when I was 17.
Yes, you know? Amen. Yes. The older you get, the more you realize, you know, how little you know. I mean, I think that's how it works if you're, living with an open mind in any case.
Right.
One of the things that upsets me a great deal is the way, the army will troll for young people with that head full of mush that, you know, the gamers, you know, what is it, usarmy.com or whatever, I forget, it's there's some website with a name something like that, and I'm forgetting the exact name, but, you know, it's a gamer site, you know, sponsored by the military, and it's got hundreds of thousands of participants, if not, you know, even, you know, another decimal up beyond that, but, 13-year-old boys and older that, you know, get pulled into these great combat games. It's a recruiting strategy, you know, reaching, you know, way into the earliest childhood, you know, or the earliest adolescence, at any case, of mostly boys, you know, and pulling them into, you know, the idea of a military life so that they can have an ongoing flow of cannon fodder. It's a very disturbing phenomenon.
Yeah, and you know, when I was a kid, I used to love playing video games, things like that all the time, but,
yes.
But, it's certainly different when it's, wow, the actual army itself, they're not just relying on, you know, kids' love of war games to carry through. They have their own, they put millions into making their own pro-U.S. Army specifically games. In fact, there was one where they had it in the mall where you actually climb in a Humvee.
Yeah.
And shoot virtual people with your mounted machine gun and these kinds of things.
Right. Yes, I think there are recruitment centers that have gaming parlors in them, and you know, young guys can hang out there and play as young people, too young to be recruited. They can still play the game, and then when they're old enough, you know, they're much easier prey. You know, that combined with the horrific economy, you know, the disappearance of jobs at every level, you know, so the military becomes a place for young people to, you know, find some security. Plus there's all the promises of this, that, you know, education, et cetera, you know, for just a 2-year commitment or whatever that then turns out to be something far more horrific than these folks, young people, thought they had signed up for often enough. And, you know, plus the lack of any sort of other alternative for patriotic service. That's, you know, that also pains me. I mean, there could be other ways to serve our community in a patriotic sense besides going and killing gooks or hajis or, you know, bugs, you know, producing bug splat.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's the whole blowback, too. I mean, if bombing Iraq and blockading Iraq for 10 years from bases in Saudi Arabia got us attacked on September 11th, and then that became the excuse for all this entire terror war that's raged ever since then, what kind of blowback are we facing next, you know? In fact, we're going to have Roy Gutman on the show just back from over there. Where it's all, you know, everybody's talking now about Iran and Saudi Arabia having a proxy war in Iraq and all this stuff. We only just started setting up the tinder box from one point of view. It's only just now going to blow up in our face.
Absolutely. We're setting it up so that the coming generations will inherit the problems that we inherited, and but probably much larger scale. So it's very disturbing.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, thanks very much for your writing and for your time on the show today, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was a great, it was a pleasure to talk to you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Everybody, that's Bob Kohler. He is an award-winning journalist and nationally syndicated writer. His book is called Courage Grows Strong at the Wound, and his website is commonwonders.com. We'll be back.